I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and Adam. What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Downloaded today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can check me out Monday through Friday on the free Odyssey app by searching 910 The Fan. Happy Saturday. I appreciate you guys making me part of your Saturday morning routine. Love to sit here on a Saturday in the nation's capital. Get to talk Nats, Caps, Wiz, the Commanders, all the biggest sports stories around the globe, but really with a focus on my favorite sports teams. And there's a lot to be excited about this summer. I mean, I'm going to get into it. We've got the summer of soccer beginning less than a week away from today. This is one of the most bright spots we've ever been at for all four D.C. sports teams. I really feel like this is a moment here for D.C. sports where you can look back and say, hey, you know, maybe 2023 was full rock bottom and maybe 2025 was a step back or a setback for a major comeback, because I am excited about this young Nationals team, the Caps. I do feel like they have been able to build a young roster around Ovi, whether he comes back or not. I am desperate to have him come back. In fact, I would give up a playoff spot for one more year of Ovi. I want him to have that full send-off tour. And we are less than 3 weeks away from the 2026 NBA draft. If you've heard any of this show in the last month, you know how excited I am about the Wizards winning the number one overall pick, the Mother's Day miracle, to get A.J. Dabanza, the monster, out of BYU to come to Washington. He's been doing his media tour. He's actually going to be one of the contributors on the NBA Finals, doing like sideline reports for social media. Derek Queen is doing that. I think Caleb Wilson did it for Game 1. We've heard A.J. on Gilbert Arenas' podcast. We've heard him on All the Smoke. And this guy just has an incredible maturity about him. I love listening to his dad talk about his story. And my favorite thing about A.J. Dabanza is the fact that he has been the number one player ranked by ESPN from the age he was 14 years old to today. That has not changed. There's only been two players that have been ranked number one when they were 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then went number one overall. It's LeBron James and maybe A.J. Dabanza. We find out in less than 3 weeks if that's Washington's selection and number one overall. But as we sit here today, we are right square in the middle of the finals, both the quest for Lord Stanley's Cup in the NHL and the NBA Finals. Every night we get a great game. Every night, it feels like. I mean, it's hard to pick what's been better, because the NHL has been electric. So many goals for the first two games. And for the NBA, I mean, we just saw an unbelievable performance last night and a crazy finish, as I wanted to get into that. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I think last night we saw the face of the league, Victor Wembanyama, the alien, get humbled. This freak of nature who's 7-plus feet tall, can dribble, shoot, do everything on the basketball court. It's why he's called the alien. Grabbed a rebound with the game tied and literally threw the ball away. The turnover led to the New York Knicks taking the lead, getting the win, and now having a 2-games-to-none lead over the Spurs in the NBA Finals. Just like MJ against the Celtics, LeBron against the Mavericks, you know, this new GOAT is being humbled. But I'm not saying fully count Victor Wembanyama out yet. I'm just saying history repeats itself. And most of the time in the NBA, the greats have to get knocked down and then get up again. Even teams as a whole have to get knocked down and then get up again. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder and how they responded from the defeat 2 years ago to win it all last year. So we're seeing the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. It might be a young dynasty in the future with this core that they have of Harper, Castle, and Wemby, but we're seeing them get knocked down, and we're seeing them get humbled a little bit. And this is the adversity that they needed. You have to deal with adversity to become champions. And I'm not counting the Spurs out at all. At all. I think home field advantage absolutely matters. But I think that these teams are good enough to overcome it, as we've seen already from New York. And from that side, the New York Knicks are 2 wins away from their first championship in over 50 years. And Jalen Brunson's 2 wins away from becoming a superstar, an icon in New York, from the likes we just haven't seen this century. I mean, if Jalen Brunson wins a championship, he won't be able to go get a cup of coffee or a bagel for the next 50 years in New York. It's just insane what Jalen Brunson's been able to do. It's the ultimate underdog story. It feels like we are witnessing David versus Goliath in this year's NBA Finals. And I'm Team David and the New York Knicks. But this has been fantastic theater. It's the storyline that we all needed. The Spurs are down 2-0. Madison Square Garden's one of the most iconic places to go to a basketball game. That place is going to be packed. I'm pretty sure, Wes, what are we reading? It's already past the number of the highest ticket entrance ever for a game in the NBA to get to Madison Square Garden for game 3?
100%. I mean, this finals is crazy.
That place is going to be rocking and rolling. It's going to be next to impossible for the Spurs to come into that building with it like that and get a victory. And yet, I could see Victor Wembanyama doing it. The difference in this series so far in games 1 and game 2 has been the third scorer in this series. And I got to give myself credit here. I absolutely predicted this. It's been Wemby against Brunson. There's no doubt about that. Wemby against Brunson every single time down the court, every single fourth quarter. It's going to continue to be like that. But the difference has been who's been the third best player on the court. I thought it was going to be Stephen Castle. Stephen Castle has been so good this postseason for the San Antonio Spurs. This is a top five pick from 2024, a NCAA champion out of UConn who averaged 16 points per game this season. But in the postseason, he upped that number to 19 points per game and had several 20-point efforts on the way to the NBA Finals. But in the last two games, he has not been able to get over his average, 17 and 14, right, where he was averaging 19 throughout this postseason. And it's just a two-point difference, but I think that's been the slight difference. It hasn't been Stephen Castle. It hasn't been Dylan Harper. It hasn't been De'Aaron Fox. It hasn't been Devin Vassell. The third best player in this series has been the guy that I probably should have predicted but overlooked because he's clowned a ton, and that is the Cat, Karl Anthony Towns, showing the world once again why he was a number one overall pick. When you talk about a number one overall pick, you talk about a guy that can dominate the court on both sides of the ball. And in stretches of the game, that's what we're seeing from Karl Anthony Towns. He's been serviceable on Wemby, but a lot of times it feels like he's gotten a favorable matchup on the offensive end against Devin Vassell or others, and his rebounding has been huge. His rebounding has been huge in this series. 12 rebounds in Game 1, 13 rebounds in Game 2 for Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, think about how important that is, because these are second chance points. These are also big rebounds at times where he's leaping over Wemby, or at least his outstretched arms are tipping it away from Wemby. And then the scoring. In Game 1, 18 points. One more than Stephen Castle, 17, right? In Game 2, 21 points, 3 3-point shots. He's been able to score in the post. He's been able to score outside. And really, Karl-Anthony Towns is doing everything that Chet Holmgren dreamed about doing against Victor Wembanyama. And that's the difference, is the bigger body, the strength, the muscle, and the experience of Karl-Anthony Towns is letting him do everything that Chet Holmgren was not able to do. And why Chet Holmgren was a weakness for the Thunder against the Spurs, he is, Karl-Anthony Towns has become a strength for the Knicks against the Spurs. And so two games into this series, yes, Jalen Brunson has been David versus Goliath, and he has been unbelievable with his clutch performances. But the difference has been Karl-Anthony Towns lifting his game, proving his worth. Now, can the Spurs turn this thing around? I say absolutely. I say hell yeah. Why? Because I strongly believe that they were in position to win game one and in the same position to win game two. The problem is the youth of this roster is kind of coming back to bite them right now. It's the reason they're there, because the last 3 years they've had three lottery picks. Harper, Castle, Wemby. That's the youth right now. Wemby year three, Castle year two, Harper year one. It is the building blocks of what could be a dynasty. But we'll see if they have what it takes to turn it around and try to go to New York and change this series. Because right now, it's either going to be Knicks in four, Knicks in five, right? Knicks in six. Nobody's predicting the Spurs are going to actually turn it around after taking that loss last night with Wemby missing the shot with the game on their line, on the line. I am rooting for the Knicks. I like to see Jalen Brunson ball out. He has been captain clutch. He's been out of this world, off the charts with the game on the line. So I'm rooting for the Knicks, but I can totally see the Spurs turning this thing around. And I'd be pretty surprised if the Knicks ended up sweeping San Antonio in four games. Here's how the Spurs will turn this thing around. I'll tell you on the other side of this commercial break. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We'll bring David Harrison on to talk Commanders at 11 a.m. I'll give you my thoughts on the offseason and the latest news and notes from OTAs. Got to get you guys my thoughts on the Wizards' outlook for next season when you add the number one overall pick. And it's the summer of soccer. What should the realistic expectations be for Team USA? NBA Finals continues next on The Fan. The New York Knicks are two games away from being 2026 NBA champions. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, live and local here on a Saturday morning, June 6th, just after 9:15 this morning. We're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you want to chime in, though, phone lines are open. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Your reaction to last night's Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Victor Wembanyama from basically the elbow. I mean, that's a shot most people can make. That's a shot that a lot of people shoot playing around the world. That's a shot that Kevin Durant has mastered. Victor Wembanyama off the rim. No good. Knicks take a 2-0 series lead back to New York, back to the Big Apple for Game 3 at Madison Square Garden. Have the Knicks become America's team? It feels like it's New York against the world right now. David versus Goliath, Brunson against Wemby. Is it America against the alien? I love this New York team. It's full of guys that are playing at the highest of the levels right now. They're playing as a team. They love and support each other so much. It's the Villanova 3. Just a bunch of really underdogs. OG Anunoby's an NBA champion. Oh, yeah, but he didn't play that year because he was injured. Josh Hart, so under-recruited and undervalued. Karl-Anthony Towns shipped out of Minnesota. Mikal Bridges, really an underrated veteran, really helping this team on both sides of the court. Has the New York Knicks become America's team in this year's postseason? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1067. Let's go to Trucker Dave in Virginia. What's up, Trucker Dave?
Hey, top of the morning there, Adam. So the situation, I'm going to steer it back into the 1999 and 2003 era because I was actually flying into San Antonio to visit my brother who was stationed down there when David Robinson went to, Joe was going to, my brother was going to his church there. But anyway, long story short, I'm going to try to wrap it up because you're going, I'm wide open, but I was the lone soldier. You know, you were talking about the Knicks last night. I was at Glory Days in Lorton, and I was almost the only one when that shot didn't go down because it was up, and I said, and then it didn't happen. So anyway, long story short, I was.
Wait, so everyone in Lorton, was everyone in Lorton rooting for the Spurs, you're saying?
Yeah, the whole kit, the whole the Glory Days. I'm saying everyone. There was probably, I mean, when it didn't go, it exploded inside that Glory Days. But the thing is I'm with you when you said another get it back into San Antonio, and they're going to come back. They're going to just mash on the motor. I believe that they're going to. They're not out of it. They're still in it. You can go ahead and say that. I think that was in somewhat of the you know. What you were just describing. And it's the first time I listened to that radio station. I was just channel surfing and stuff and, you know, just trying to walk through this morning because last night I was so disappointed, man. I wanted that one to sink, but it didn't happen. So we'll just go on to the next one, right? Can I get a witness? Come on, Adam. All right, buddy.
All right, Dave. Appreciate you calling in while you're driving around. That's my Glory Days. That's my local Glory Days that I grew up going to there in Lorton. Love that shout out. All right, let's go to line two. We've got Reese's in Maryland. What's up? You're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I think the shot Wimby took was the best shot. He was wide open. It's a shot that Kobe and all of them had to take. And if he had made it, they were saying, oh, he a unicorn. He the baddest in the world. So he got to live with that. As far as call out the clowns, he's doing what Perkins did to Shaq. He kicking them out the paint. So what they're gonna have to do is go back and watch the Lakers film and see how Lakers had to deal with Perkins kicking Shaq out the paint because that would call after the Towns doing to him. Thanks
you
for
know,
taking my call.
Yeah.
Why
no.
What he took was the best shot. He was wide open. It was cool and all of it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Good call, dude. Hey, look, it was the right shot to take. There's. Yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate you chiming in, Wes. Wes, you got to hang up on him. Look. Wemby took that shot with confidence. He stepped into it. I like that point. That's the shot Kobe would have taken. All the greats would have taken that shot. It's not about the missed shot. It's about the turnover before that. We can't overlook that play. That was a mistake there by a kid. That was a mistake that rookies make. All right? Nothing against Wemby. He's probably going to go down as one of the most amazing basketball players of all time. I have a hard time saying GOAT next to his name because to me that will always be Michael Jordan. But he's going to go down as a freak of nature that we've never seen before at this league, and he's probably going to be a multiple-time champion. But every young champion has to go through this, and that's what that was. That's what that was, is that was his adversity. That was LeBron losing his first time getting to the finals. That was Michael getting beat up by the Celtics before he got his squad rolling. Victor Wembanyama, and this is kind of two games in a row, has made some mental mistakes here in the NBA Finals. I'm not saying the lights are too bright for the kid. I'm just saying that we're seeing the fact that he is a kid. He looks like, I mean, God dang, he's so big. He's so big out there. I mean, it's unbelievable watching him run around and block shots. And I just, every time he tips a rebound to himself and then puts it in, my jaw drops. I turn to my friends off. What are we watching? This guy's insane. But he's also just 22 years old. And we're seeing that age. And for the age of Harper and Castle, we're seeing it kind of catch up to them right now. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great. So, by the way, that was a nice shout-out to Glory Days and Lorton because I go there a lot as well during football season. I mean, I'm glad to see that there was a lot of Knicks fans there last night. I mean, I didn't go, but it was good to hear that a caller's reaction to callers ago. But I got to say, you know, you just pressed on it. Look, Victor Wembanyama, yes, he's going to get – I mean, I pretty much can think he's going to get a championship or two in the future. But the question is, and I think what the turning point could also be, was that errant pass where he threw it right to Brunson. I understand the team, it bounced off his teammate's shoulder. Is that the turning point in this series where, I'm not saying there could be a sweep at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night, but could that be where, oh shoot, we just had a chance to go up, tie this series at one. Could that mean a sweep that the Spurs against the Spurs? I don't know. But the way the Knicks are playing right now, Brunson closed it out again. I'm pretty sure he would love to get that second free throw back to be up by two instead of one. But Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, man, he's been taking apart Wemby both these games so far. I mean, especially in the first half last night, also in game one the other night. He was going past like Wemby like crazy. And after like a couple of times, I'm thinking, but Wemby, you have a couple inches ahead, taller than him. You're not dominating? I mean, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns definitely, to me, has had a great postseason. And you know what? If he hadn't been in foul trouble early in this postseason, he would be averaging double-doubles the whole playoffs. So, I mean, I don't know who to choose between the MVP, between Brunson and Towns, but, man, the Knicks have been playing pretty well right now. It would be pretty cool to see them win for the first time. And why not win in Madison Square Garden on that home floor and have the whole city of New York City go crazy? I mean, it'd be awesome. As Marv Albert would say, yes. Take care, man.
Yep, good call. I appreciate you chiming in. And he's rooting for the Knicks. I'm rooting for the Knicks. It feels like the Knicks have become America's team. And I want to double down on what he's talking about there. If the Spurs lose this series, all right, and I'm not counting them out at all, and I'll tell you how they turn it around a little bit later, but if the Spurs lose this series, we will all remember that turnover as the turning point in the series, as the moment the Spurs lost the series. If they lose the series, it'll be because with the game tied in game two on their home court, their best player threw the ball to a teammate, not looking at him. Right? And let me just old man rant for a second, even though I'm only 33. I hate when your center gets a rebound and dribbles the ball up the court. You outlet pass it to the point guard and let him do his job, Wemby. Was the moment too big for you? I don't know, but you thought you were going to go coast to coast in the NBA Finals? Was I the only one that got me so upset? I'm not rooting for Wemby at all. I'm rooting for the Knicks. But I'm sitting there like, that's a boneheaded mistake. We all screamed out of the top of our lungs at the Duke player, right? Caden Boozer, who made a terrible mistake. He made a rookie mistake, and that's why college basketball is so fun, because that was an amateur play, right? He turned around, and he ran into a double team. He threw the ball away. It happened in Washington, D.C. Half of the listeners probably saw it in person, and UConn won the game. It's the exact same thing that Wemby did. He got the rebound. He turned and put the ball on the ground and started dribbling up court and then threw the ball to a guy not looking at him. And he threw it on the sidelines, not even to the middle of the court. He made a huge boneheaded mistake there because he's young, right? Because he's young. But we're all going to remember that. We're all going to remember that turnover for a long time if the Spurs don't turn it around. Get the ball to the point guard, bro. You're 7'5". You're like 7'7". Get into the paint. My goodness. That's the other thing. Now, the shot at the end of the game was the good shot, but for a lot of that fourth quarter, I'm screaming, why is Wemby not in the paint? He's hanging around the outside shooting threes. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Just after 9:30 here on a Saturday, June 6th, NBA WOD, talking all things NBA Finals. The New York Knicks are two games away from their first championship in over 50 years. Dwayne tweets me, "Hey, WOD, I'm 58 years old from Brooklyn. I've been a Knicks fan since I was 4. Wemby and this Spurs team have never experienced what they will in the Garden on Monday night. People keep talking about the Spurs not playing their best. These have been the worst two games by this Knicks team in the 13-game streak, and they still won." Yeah, there's a lot of validity to that tweet there. The one, Madison Square Garden was going to be popping out of control on Monday. I cannot wait to watch that on TV just to experience all of that from pregame to postgame. It's going to be amazing. And I kind of would agree, like the Knicks have been playing some amazing basketball over the last 3 weeks or month here during this incredible win streak since they lost that game three to the Hawks and went down 2-1. They've been undefeated. And I would say, I mean, I would probably agree that this these last two games where they scored, what, 105 and 1? It feels like they've been averaging 120 before that. The Spurs are a better defensive team than what they faced in the Eastern Conference. But here's how the San Antonio Spurs turn it around. I'm not saying the Spurs are going to win this series, but I believe they are going to win at least a game. And I think they're going to have an opportunity like Wemby had here with the game on their line. He could have made the shot. We could have easily been 1-1, and all the momentum would have been in favor of the Spurs. Of course, you got to hit the shot. He took the shot. He had the confidence to step into it. He didn't knock it down. I thought what he said post-game was so true, right? It's a results-oriented business, right? The process was smart. He's been working on that shot. He got the pass. He was open. He didn't get the result. He has to make the shot. But this is an incredible New York team. They're so talented. They're all playing at the best of their abilities, and they play really well together, their first five and their second five. But here's how the Spurs turn it around, and I don't even know that it's really all about Victor Wembanyama. I think he needs to have his ass in the paint a lot more moving forward, right? You got to get easy buckets, get your dunks, get your alley-oops, get Karl-Anthony Towns into more foul trouble, then you can shoot the threes, right? Step out when Mitchell Robinson's on you because you can drive past him, but work in the paint against Karl-Anthony Towns. I think Stephen Castle and Dylan Harper need to be better, at least Castle with his shooting. It feels like he's had some open looks from the outside, some open looks from the mid-range that just haven't fallen. Harper, I've been so impressed with him just getting all the way to the basket, right? I mean, Harper, when Harper sees Brunson on him, he's like he's getting ready to eat his breakfast. He loves that matchup there. The problem is not Harper, Castle, or Wemby. I think it's so obvious that it's surprising the Spurs didn't target him more in Game 2. But I guess the truth is that the Knicks maybe have the answer to what the Spurs' X factor is, and that is the sixth man of the year. Yeah, the NBA votes on this every single year, and Keldon Johnson was the NBA's sixth man of the year and won it kind of easily over Jaime Jaquez, Tim Hardaway Jr. I might have picked Naz Reid for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But Keldon Johnson was your NBA's sixth man of the year, and he averaged 13 points per game. And in the playoffs, he's been a shy, you know, under 10 points per game. This series, 3 points per game. And this season against the Knicks, I just looked it up, he's had several games of just 3 points. One game he went off for 17. If I am Mitch Johnson, I am watching that film over and over again. How do we get Keldon Johnson going? How did he get going in that one game we won over the New York Knicks earlier this year? This is our sixth man of the year, and he's basically unplayable right now in the NBA Finals. This is the moment here when you need your sixth man of the year. You absolutely need him. He needs to go out there and be a guy that you can count on to make the big shot, right? And to go out there when it's the second unit and your starters are getting a rest and at least just be aggressive and go to the basket and get off some damn shots. He's playing like he's scared. Game one, 1 of 4, 3 points. Game two, 1 of 4, 3 points. You got to go back if you are the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Mitch Johnson. It's December 31st, 2025 in San Antonio. Keldon Johnson came 31 minutes, 19 points. You got to figure out what the hell you did there because this is your chance to turn the series around. The obvious is, yeah, Wemby can play better and make the shot. And Stephen Castle can do better in the mid-range. Dylan Harper can still do his thing. You have a sixth man of the year. You have a sixth man of the year. And he's being outplayed by Landry Shamet and Jose Alvarado. So that's the easy answer for how the Spurs turned around number one, all right? Number two, I do think that this is a Spurs team here that might need to change a little bit defensively how they're guarding Jalen Brunson. I get it. Brunson's amazing with these angles. They've got to be able to limit the opportunities that he has that are favorable matchups on the offensive end. It feels like too often Brunson can get a switch and get exactly who he wants, and then he can get them off balance and get his shot. And, man, I mean, he's been so clutch. He really, there's never a, he's never off balance. The defender's off balance. He might look off balance. Brunson's not truly off balance because he shoots those off balance shots. And so that's, I think, the way they're defending Brunson is one thing. Towns has been impressive, but I also think, like, this is who Towns is. He is ready for this moment here. I mean, he's playing with an unbelievable amount of confidence. That's what I like so much about the way Karl Anthony Towns is playing. He's playing like, I was the number one overall pick in 2015, but he's acting like that was 2025. And he doesn't care that Wemby was the number one overall pick in 2024. Like, this is how Karl Anthony Towns is playing. He's playing like he has a chip on his shoulder. He's playing like it's a legit number one overall pick versus a number one overall pick. And he has a point to prove. And he's trying to win a championship. And he's playing with the emotions on his sleeve for his mother. Like, I don't know how you can't love everything about what Karl Anthony Towns is doing this postseason, but especially this series here right now for the New York Knicks. It has been incredible. I am not counting the Spurs out, though, as I said. I think the biggest thing is Keldon Johnson, right? I mean, these two games have been decided by 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes, right? 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes for the NBA Finals. I the final score is not that, right? Because they won by 10 game one. But everybody knows Brunson had to hit that shot when they were only up by four with like 30 seconds to go. Clutch time in the NBA is the final 5 minutes of regulation overtime, and it's a 5-point game or less. And that's what we've had here. That's what we've had in the first two games. So it's just a couple minutes here, a couple buckets there, and the Spurs could absolutely turn this thing around. The big issue they're going to have to deal with now is the crowd will be against them. They've already, it feels like, got the country against them. The crowd will be against them. Everybody watching on TV, I feel like, is moving towards the Knicks here. It's just, you want an underdog story? Everything about the Knicks is an underdog story, and it's been 50-plus years. The Spurs, it's a little unfair. Man, lottery pick, lottery pick, lottery pick. Did Adam Silver help you out? What's up with this garbage? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Thanks to Captain Clutch, the New York Knicks have taken a 2-0 series lead in the 2026 NBA Finals with a Game 3 in their backyard. The Knicks return home to Madison Square Garden, and I wanted to focus in on how clutch Jalen Brunson has been, because there was a great article on USA Today that I read about Jalen Brunson, who's absolutely earned the nickname of Captain Clutch, propelling the Knicks to a 2-0 series lead. What he's done in the fourth quarter has been unbelievable. And you just have to read about it and see the stats to kind of believe it. I mean, what I'm seeing with my own eyes is, it just feels like every time the game is on the line, he's going to take a shot. He's probably not going to miss it. If he's going to miss, it's going to be the start of the fourth quarter until we get to that final 5 minutes, right? I mean, game one, I felt like I saw Brunson miss three shots open in the first few minutes of the fourth quarter. And then tips out the offensive rebound. Oh, no, you left him open the corner, buried it. And then the off-balance jumper, nothing but nylon. He's unbelievably clutch. And so on USA Today's article, they put a graphic showing the playoff clutch scoring, all right? And it has Steve Nash, Kawhi Leonard, Jamal Murray, SGA, Curry, Donovan Mitchell, LeBron, Kobe. There are two players that are off the charts with their total clutch field goals. Michael Jordan and Jalen Brunson are the only ones that are completely off the charts. How good has Jalen Brunson been in the clutch? Off the charts. That's how good he's been. Another way that you can kind of visualize this if you're driving around. Since 2023, all right, the NBA has defined clutch buckets as points scored in the last 5 minutes, right, of a game that's decided by 5 points or less. Jason Tatum, 65 clutch points, has been an NBA champion. Nikola Jokic, 69 clutch points, has been an NBA champion. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 84 clutch points, has been an NBA champion. Jalen Brunson, 60 more. 144 clutch points scored in the playoffs since 2023. What he's done in the last few seasons to lift the New York Knicks on his back, it's been iconic. It's nothing shy of that. It's so cool to watch him ball out. He's out of this world, right? That's how he's able to go against the alien. He's something we haven't seen before. And how about that moment last night where De'Aaron Fox, what a little punk, tries to get into my guy Jalen Brunson's grill, and Rick Brunson, his dad, gets up off the bench, goes all the way down to the other side of the court, says, "We're not playing that game. Get out of my son's face. You're not on his level, Fox. Get out of here." I love that support. And really, the reason Brunson's able to be this clutch is the workout routines his father put him through since he was like 7 or 8 years old. If you haven't seen these videos, look them on YouTube. They're so cool to watch. He grinded out there on the blacktop with his dad over and over and over again. His dad pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. And it's why he got to Villanova and then to the NBA. And he felt like he was tested year one with the Dallas Mavericks, watching all these great players around him. But he has just taken his game to the next level every single year since then. And he's talked about it. The pressure's not much for him because of the pressure his dad put on him growing up. 6'2", just a complete underdog there. Love the lefty falling away. I mean, the Knicks are giving the Spurs a ton of trouble because of the adjustments I think the Spurs made against the Thunder. Because the Thunder plays such a different basketball game, and like you change some things to guard SGA, that's not working the way you guard Jalen Brunson. You change some things to guard Chet Holmgren. That's absolutely not working the way you need to guard Karl-Anthony Towns. And the Knicks have such good spacing. The Spurs just have not been able to readjust. This Knicks team, it's very well ran. It's very well put together. I love Coach Mike Brown. I hated him when he was coaching LeBron and beating Washington, but I earned some respect for him just like I've earned respect for LeBron. But this Knicks roster here, when they put five guys on the court there, it's so well spaced, right? You can run the pick and roll with Brunson and Towns. And then you got Bridges, who can kind of run around the Iverson screens and pull up from the mid-range. He's cash from the mid-range. All right, well, if you guard that, then somebody's going to be open in the corner. That's OG Anunoby. All right, well, then you need a guy who's going to be willing to put his body on the line, his neck on the line for a loose ball and a rebound. That's Josh Hart, right? So this lineup for the Knicks out there, they can just space the floor so well and pick you apart with that. I mean, Josh Hart didn't score in game two, and I thought he still made a huge impact with 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block, diving for loose balls, being aggressive on the defensive end, some good fouls, you know, to stop easy buckets, make them earn it. And then the three-point shooting off the bench from the Knicks has been impressive. Shamet, Miles McBride, Alvarado with the steal and a bucket as well. Mitchell Robinson with some strong minutes rebounding. So the Knicks really can kind of sub in like-for-like situations and get, all right, Anunoby needs a break. We're going to put in Shamet. He can run around the screen and shoot the three. So I like the way they put this next team together. It's really the same squad as last year, but they changed the coaching, maybe changed the bench unit a little bit. And I think you're seeing, hey, they're playing the hard-nosed defense that Thibodeau forced them to play, but with better sets run offensively because that's what Mike Brown's good at. And so I think it's also great for the fact that their management decided, hey, we might have gotten to the conference finals for the first time in 99, but it's not good enough, and we're going to make a change. And that took marbles. That took stones to make that change, to hire Mike Brown. Revisionist history. Oh, yeah, hire Mike Brown. That was great. No. I remember the entire timeline on social media was the Knicks just made a terrible mistake firing Thibodeau to replace him with Mike Brown. Where are those haters at now as the Knicks are two games away from the 2026 NBA champions? It returns to Madison Square Garden for Monday night, game 3 of the NBA Finals. San Antonio absolutely with their backs against the wall. New York, stand up. America, stand up. It feels like the Knicks have become America's team. Is it David versus Goliath? Is it really America versus the alien? I think so. I think Victor Wembanyama will win his titles. There's no doubt about that. He will get his championships. I don't want it to happen this year. I want him to wait his turn like all the other greats have had to. They've all gotten close before in the postseason. A lot of them haven't gotten to the finals, but you know, LeBron got to a finals and then had to get humbled. This is what's happening to Victor Wembanyama. It's happening on the national stage. We're all witnessing he had the turnover and then the missed shot. It's on him. It's on his shoulders. He's the one that could single-handedly turn this around for the Spurs. He needs some help, for sure. They need more points from their second unit. But this thing's not over. It's been incredible, these two games here, because I think game one, you watch three quarters, you turn it off, you probably thought the Spurs won. Game two, you watch the first three quarters, you probably thought the Knicks won. They did win. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. If you're enjoying the show, that's where you could check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Just search 910 The Fan on the Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.